Hello, everyone. Patriot Underground here. Now, before we start the show tonight, I just want to remind everybody to check out patriotswitch.com. Clearly, if you're listening to my broadcast tonight, you are one of the ones that genuinely cares about the direction that we are headed, not only as a country, but as an entire human species. The entire world is at stake. And more, we are realizing that we are engaged in the most epic battle in all of human history, really. And it's being waged in unprecedented ways. And one of the ways, and one of the theaters in this war in which we have the ability to strike back at the enemy is emerging through companies like Patriot Switch that give you the opportunity to align your financial resources with your value system and to reject the value system that's associated with the vertically integrated big box conglomerates that are all owned by BlackRock and Vanguard, as we know. This is a movement that is gathering steam with every passing day, and I am really proud to be a part of this. Patriot Switch is not only offering at this point personal and household products, but they have recently moved into the beef industry as well. This is a very, very exciting time to get involved with Patriot Switch, especially given how many uncertainties there are in terms of the supply chain. Make the switch today, folks. Get ahead of the curve. Join this movement. Secure your family's needs and do it in a way that you can be proud of. This is how we change the world together. PatriotSwitch.com. All right, folks, enjoy the show. Patriot out.
Well, good afternoon, folks. We got Patriot Underground with us, and he's been back for now the second time. And wouldn't you know it, it's exactly 4:17 being, you know, which team we're on, okay? We got our talking points today. I sent us some talking points. We're going to talk about Jasar Nasara. This guy is an absolute encyclopedia, a walking, talking billboard, incredible knowledge on this stuff. And the only thing that I'm at odds with is the dates. I say nothing is going to happen under President Biden, even though there's some little debt forgiveness here and debt forgiveness there. And there's talk about the RV. And my friend, Dr. Sandra Rose Michael, the inventor of the scalar wave technology, by the way, we're opening up in Chula Vista and no later than the end of February. And it's free for an entire month. So anybody who would like to come and hang out and marinate in that technology, you're more than welcome to. Zero cost. We know it works. Anyway, brother, how have you been, man? How's things going? What's going on? Are you in agreement that nothing's going to happen under this resident Biden, whether he's a clone, whether he is a actor with a mask, or whether he is whatever he is? No idea. I think 45, absolutely 100,000% has to come back. Where are you on that, brother? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back, Mel. I really do appreciate it. It's great to be back. I've been doing a lot of, thinking about that very subject. You know, March 4th is the rumor. And, it's interesting because, you know, so much of what we've been doing this past couple of years in a lot of ways has been speculating, right? We've been speculating about dates and timelines. And, honestly, in some ways, I've sort of become hesitant to do that because obviously most of the time you start speculating and then the next thing you know, you turn out to be incorrect. And at this stage of the game, you know, a lot of folks out there are kind of tired of hearing about all the speculation.
Right, totally.
That being said, I do think that we're seeing a significant tide shift happen now. It's like you and I were kind of talking about before the show. We're getting real close. I happen to think, I mean, I can feel it in my bones at this point. You know, we're getting super close. And, you know, it's not just a question of a gut feeling. Right. But, you know, there's also a heck of a lot of evidence. I mean, look, we just passed how many 5-year deltas? We had the Q predicting Kerry Lake's quote unquote defeat.
Yep.
53-47 to the day. You know, 5-year delta. Then we had Kevin McCarthy's win in the 15th round. That was also predicted by Q to the day. And so we're seeing a lot of these 5-year deltas. And this whole concept of Trump returning on March 4th does in fact make a lot of sense because it may be that the commander in chief, as we know, and also the president of the republic, not the corporation, but the president of the republic, it would make sense that he would be sworn in accordance with the original inauguration date, which is March 4th, right?
Totally.
You know, a lot of things would need to happen between now and then. You know, I don't think it's beyond the realm of possibility, given how accelerated this process has become, especially since the beginning of the year. We got a new Congress that took over. They hit the ground running. They're launching all these investigations. And it certainly looks to me like the tide is shifting dramatically. We got the Twitter files dropping, new topics trending on Twitter every single day that are absolute coffin nails to the cabal. So it's possible. I mean, like I say, a lot of things would have to happen in order for Trump to be inaugurated on March 4th, because what is it? Today's what? The 20th. So, you know, that's not too far from now. But I've always expected that once this flip actually happens, once this reversal event really kicks off, it's going to be amazing how fast
the
situation gets turned around. So I think it's certainly possible. I mean, I hesitate, you know, I'm certainly not going to, you know, hang my hat on any date at this point in time.
Totally.
But, you know, after all these statistical impossibilities, you know, which somehow come true, I personally think that only foolish people are discounting the Q post at this stage. And I also happen to believe, similar to kind of what you were saying, that, you know, Biden has to go. And, you know, there's no way that they're rolling out the QFS. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. But there's no way that we're going to see the RV, we're going to see the QFS roll out until Biden is removed. And, you know, one way or another. And
yeah.
Trump returns to oversee the revaluation, the rebirth of the republic. You know, I think that fake Biden's fall, quite honestly, is going to represent, symbolically speaking, the collapse of the third vassal state in this three-tiered power structure of the New World Order. As we
absolutely. No question about it. No argument there. Instead of that letter, let's use the number 17. I know that they frown on it. They won't necessarily
put
you down for
fault.
That. No, it's all right. In other words, how in the world did Patriot Underground, did you just like wake up one day saying, I think I'm going to become a podcaster? Give us a little bit about your background. What do you do for a living? Are you in business? Do you work for a corporation? And how did this podcasting thing all come about?
Yeah, well, so I think basically, you know, the best way to answer that question is, you know, I had been doing research for quite some time. I've never actually revealed, you know, what I do for a living or anything along those lines. So, you know, I may do that eventually. And I told my audience, you know, I may reveal more things about, you know, my identity at the appropriate time. But, you know, I right from the first time I made a podcast, I got to be honest with you, Mel, I really did not expect it was a very spontaneous decision. I started waking up somewhere around 2012, 2013. It was, you know, in Obama's, towards the end of Obama's second term. And, you know, I started doing research. I started listening to, you know, some alternative voices. I started listening to Alex Jones and InfoWars. And, you know, I kind of got a basic sort of backdrop, a basic education, if you will. But, you know, it was a lot of years went by before I actually decided to hit the record button. And, you know, it was a very spontaneous decision. I honestly, I'll tell you, I started March, I think it was March 21st of 2021. It's coming up on 2 years.
Right.
And it was just a spontaneous decision. I woke up one day and somehow the thought just came into my head to start a podcast. And I don't know where it came from. You know, I have a pretty good idea of where it came from. But, you know, at the time, it was just a very spontaneous thing. And I said to my wife, I'm going to go out and get a new laptop today. And she says, why? I said, well, I'm going to start a podcast. And she just looked at me. You know, she, you know, and I just said, look, I need an outlet because pretty much everyone around me, you know, I live in the Northeast and, you know, it's a captured operation here, as I'm sure you know. And
yeah.
Pretty much everybody around me is, you know, thought I was absolutely insane. You know, and, you know, I went through the process of trying to wake up my friends and family and all that alienation. And that's really, I think, what kind of pushed me into, you know, doing a podcast. And I never expected, quite honestly, that I was going to really get a following and an audience. And it's been a blessing.
Well, I'll tell you what, when the smoke clears and the BS falls off the walls, okay, we're going to be crazy like a fox. We're going to be known as the smartest guys in the room. Believe me, you know. What do you think about this, the documents, with Biden and stuff? Where are you specifically on that? Do you think that this is going to be his downfall?
I do. Right. I absolutely do. I think that this is all, a movie. I think this is all being staged. I think that a lot of this stuff, if you go back and you listen to certain, you know, if you were paying attention to certain sources, they've been predicting this for quite some time now, that there was going to be a reversal. There were, you know, the midterms were going to usher in a new Congress, a GOP Congress that actually had patriots involved with that Congress. And they were going to hit the ground running with all these investigations. And I think that all of this, to me, honestly, it's too coordinated and sophisticated to not be somehow scripted out. You know, the way I'm looking at it. Now, obviously, you know, you and I, we have different eyes. We look at things and we understand that all the dots connect, whereas the general public doesn't. But I think that this is all being set up. I think that the documents are going to reveal primarily, I think there's probably going to be a lot of things they reveal, but primarily his business dealings in Ukraine. And I think it's going to be absolutely monumental. And, you know, one way or another, whether they go with the 25th Amendment or whether they go with impeachment, you can see that all of the wheels are really turning now. Whereas before, I think all of us were kind of scratching our heads and, you know, we were sort of cynical. I mean, at least I was before the midterms. I didn't think that we were going to see any real action take place, you know, because this is what we've always known is just another election cycle, a bunch of empty promises, and then nothing happens. But totally, we're seeing quite the opposite now, aren't we? Totally. I mean, these guys didn't waste any time. They've come out and, you know, they've associated Biden with human trafficking. I mean, they've launched investigations into him for human trafficking. And that was before these hidden documents just sprung up out of nowhere. And, you know, you can remember, you probably recall that Trump said that the 25th Amendment was of no risk at all to him. But be careful what you wish for, Joe Biden, because it could come back to haunt you. Of course, I'm paraphrasing. But I do believe
he's not here anymore, is he?
No, that's definitely not Joe Biden. I mean, I think if you look at pictures of Joe Biden from 5-6 years ago and you compare them, I mean, even a plastic surgeon will tell you he couldn't have accomplished. He couldn't have pulled that off. I mean, this is totally different guy. And that's, you know, irrespective of all the times that we've, how many times have we seen his hands go through microphones, his head go through walls?
Yep, exactly.
His mask shadow. It just goes on and on and on. I mean, this guy, I mean, I actually posted, I don't know if you saw it. You may have seen it. I was circulating around. There was a short video of Biden where he had a mask malfunction that was so bad that he looked like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead.
If you were to take over all the news media at gunpoint in the United States and tell the people everything that we're speculating to be, most of it is going to end up being true, the average normie out there would literally self-combust.
I agree. And I think that's a big reason why this process is being dragged out, why it's going so slow, right? I absolutely agree. I think that, you know, I've gone through different stages in this awakening process, this journey, like everybody else, right? And I get frustrated. I get angry at the normies. I get pissed off at the white hats, you know, at the pace of the, you know, and I start to kind of get myself into a negative space over it. But, you know, the reality of the matter is that we do need a consensus amongst, you know, 80-90% of the people have to be in consensus that we have a common enemy, and not just that we have a common enemy, but it's that it's our own government. It's our own leadership. Yeah. I mean, that is a monumental shift in public consciousness, and to attempt to change society and usher in the QFS and all of these amazing things, the med beds, all this stuff that's coming, and we know it's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
You have to get people on the same page. And I do believe that there's a very big risk if you do this too quickly. You're going to lose a lot of people. And not only that, you certainly have, at this stage of the game, I think there's less of a risk. But a couple of years ago, you know, right after the election, there was a big risk that this country could have spiraled into civil war. If Trump had signed the Insurrection Act, if he had done the things that we had wanted him to do. So, you know, having gone through this process over the past couple of years, I think it's taught us an awful lot. And certainly at this stage, now that we are actually seeing public consciousness shift, because I think a lot of folks were just saying, look, people are never going to wake up. If they haven't woken up by now, they're not going to wake up.
Forget about it. Like we say in Brooklyn,
forget about it. Right. But actually what's starting to happen now with the Twitter files, I think, you know, it's pretty hard to make an argument when you look at the largest social media platform in the world by far, and you see things like Adrenochrome and Follow the White Rabbit. and, you know, Fauci is a murderer and all these things being basically trending on Twitter. You can't deny that the nature of the conversation is changing. And so by extension, the consciousness of the public is starting to shift. People are starting to wake up. And it's a slow process because, you know, as we know, we've been indoctrinated.
Yeah.
Our entire lives, we've known nothing but the system, the establishment. And, you know, people have built their lives around that trust, this foundation of trust in the establishment system. So to pull the plug on that too quick, you know, I think is a recipe for a disaster for a number of different reasons. And I do believe that the White Hats very wisely decided to go the long, rather painstaking route so that we could get to a more organic understanding of the common enemy that we face. You know, it's like you say, you can't tell people things, you have to show them. And I think that this is what they're doing. They are showing the public a simulation, I believe, largely. I think it's most of this is pantomime. They're rolling out for public consumption, more or less, things that have already happened, in some cases, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But they very wisely understood that if this became public knowledge too fast, that this situation would completely spiral out of control. And there's no room for mistakes. So they had to take this route. There's a lot of controversy about it. And certainly, I mean, you know, into the future, there's going to be books written about it. You know, the decisions that were made, why they were made, you know, what people thought about it at the time. But I do believe, you know, I just talked about some of these unbelievable, statistically impossible deltas, right? They're using an AI. I happen to believe that, you know, they're engaged with levels of intelligence and technology that would just completely blow our minds. It's beyond what we have any comprehension of. Totally, so I have to, at the end of the day, put my faith in them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There are people sitting in Mar-a-Lago right now in front of quantum computers, really smart people. Not obviously, me and you are not that smart, okay? We're talking about people that really understand.
Oh, yeah.
And they're throwing every conceivable scenario before they make a move, okay? And the computer says, these are the three most likely outcomes. If you take option number one, this is the repercussions. Option number two, option number three. And they take the least of all evils. That's how I think this game is being played.
I agree with you. I think it has a lot to do with game theory. You probably heard that term being thrown around.
Yeah.
You know, Nash equilibrium is another one. That's kind of complex. I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, basic idea of game theory is pretty much what you're talking about, right? So, the right to sort of issue confusion, right, to introduce this fog of war is basically what game theory is. Essentially, it's AI driven.
Totally.
This whole process is AI driven. It's a mathematical method of decision making. And so you have, like, you know, these two different sides. You got the White Hats, you got the Black Hats in a competitive game, if you will. And they're analyzing, they're using the AI to analyze the optimal course of action. And so what they're doing is they're using this to game the enemy to determine which moves they have to make in this 5D chess match, as it's often called. And, you know, the way that the AI determine that it's going to play out is that this war is going to, they're going to allow the enemy to basically implement their agenda, a simulation with safeguards in place. So they put military safeguards in place. That's really what this devolution strategy is all about. To use game theory to allow the enemy to roll out their agenda so that the people can see it. The people can not just see it, but feel it and feel the pain. And I do believe that's what's coming for the normies. You know, we're going to feel the pain too, but in a different way because we understand it through a different lens, right? A lot of us, I think, you know, there's probably going to be some fear of the unknown associated with it, but I think most of us have a pretty solid understanding that once everything starts going to hell, that means good things are about to happen. That means we're getting closer and closer to the finish line, right?
When I started the podcast about a year ago, Dave, what I said was this. You got to get the box of eggs to $15, and you got to get a gallon of gas up to $12 before the normies maybe snap out of it. We're $4 short in California. Eggs, a dozen eggs in California just hit yesterday $11 in some stores.
Wow.
We got four more dollars to go, guys. Four more dollars, $15 for a box of eggs.
It's amazing that $11 for a dozen eggs. My goodness. That is incredible. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's totally true, though, what you're talking about, because I think the White Hats know very well that we've been more or less herded into this kind of mentality as a society that we don't give a damn about anything until, I mean, you know, we virtue signal, you know, that, but that people don't actually want to change. They don't have the will to change anything in their lives until they start to feel the pain in certain areas, specifically in terms of their finances. That's going to wake people up real fast. You're absolutely right. You know, I mean, people, I mean, at this stage of the game, it's, you know, we're feeling the pinch. But if it gets to the point where people can't even access their money, and they can't even, or if they can't access their money, it's not worth anything, you know, and they can't get the basic necessities that they need, they're going to wake up real fast. You know, a big part of this whole spell that the world is under right now is in this apathy and cynicism. It's all driven by, you know, a lifestyle where, you know, we've been encouraged to be lazy. You know, we live in a society where they, you know, basically promote apathy. They promote cynicism. They promote this idea that, you know, anyone who, you know, steps outside the narrative and tries to look at the world in a different way is a kook. Yeah, you know, that's the way that they've engineered society to think. And but that's going to go away really, really fast once people's security. I mean, once the bottom drops out from underneath them and they can't get the things that they need and they start to feel that fear and that panic, and they're going to become very open-minded. I mean, that's absolutely just that's the way it works.
Yeah, absolutely. Brother, the speculation regarding, you said it earlier, is March 4th, and you're not going to hang your hat on March 4th, and neither am I. I just hope that it's not March 4th, 2025, 2026.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't think it's going to be, but yeah.
I don't think so either, but.
I mean, look, I think that this is the year. I have to be honest with you. This is the year of the rabbit, the year of the rabbit hole. And, you know, you just said, actually, you just interviewed Juan O'Savin. You know, he's talked a lot. I think he's mentioned that as well. I know SG Anon has talked about this. 2023. And Gene Decode, who I have a good relationship with, you know, he's talked quite a bit about Nostradamus and his predictions for 2023. This is, I mean, I think you can get a pretty solid sense the way that this year has begun. I mean, we're only 20 days into the year, and look what we got going on.
Sure.
I mean, we have all of these investigations being launched into Biden. And regardless of what you think about it, regardless of, you know, where you're at on that, the reality is that it's happening. You know, it could be theater. It could be, you know, people have all different types of opinions, but it is happening. We've got Russia preparing to launch a full-scale land invasion, a massive winter offensive. And this is going to be, I mean, this isn't just going to be Ukraine. This is going to go into different countries. NATO countries are poised to get involved. This entire situation. And then, of course, we have the financial crisis that's looming as well. I mean, I don't see any way that we make it to 2024, 2025 even. You know, I think you'd have to have some divine intervention there to, you know, to give us that extra time. You know, at this stage, I just don't see it. I think the wheels are coming off. I think, quite honestly, like I say, you know, I'm hesitant because, you know, it's difficult to pin down timelines. That's just the bottom line. But
absolutely,
when you look at the storm and you look at all the storm clouds that are forming, you got to ask yourself, I mean, is it really possible that we're not entering into, you know, the vortex at this stage? I mean, how many more things would have to happen before, you know, we get to that stage? And I think we're really close. I really believe it.
I do too. And, you know, talking to 107 yesterday, which was a pleasure. I got to be honest with you. I had fun. He had fun. He did not want, I had an engagement. I had to go to the post office to do some immigration stuff because I'm a temporary resident here in Costa Rica. And so I had to renew that every couple of years just so I don't have to, you know, step out of the country every 90 days. That was a big pain in the ass early on. I remember doing that just to get your passport stamped and come back. That took like, you know, 12 hours every time we did that, 12, 13 hours. Anyway, long story short, I was supposed to leave at a certain time. I left late I still got to the post office thinking that my appointment was canceled, and it wasn't canceled. As soon as the door closed behind me, they called my name, and boom, I was in. But the reality is I sensed that he wanted to keep going. And that conversation lasted an hour and 20 minutes when we cut it off. And I think it probably would have went comfortably another hour, hour and a half conservatively. Well, yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, he said one thing that stuck out. He said, "Mel, this is going to be one very quick jiu-jitsu move, and we only got one left." Just something along those lines. Mm-hmm. So, he hinted at the fact that, we're definitely, this is not dress rehearsal anymore. This is a go. So
100%.
We'll see. 100%.
You know, he's also used, he uses a lot of metaphors, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
I've never actually talked to one. I'd love to at some point, but, I've analyzed plenty of his work. And,
I've had about 12 people, intermediaries, chase him for the last 6-7 months. And everybody's telling him, "Hey, you got to go talk to Mel. Hey, you got to talk to him." I guess they finally wore him down. So my good friend.
Well, good for you. He's not an easy guy to track down, I'll tell you.
No, not at all.
So I tried myself, but.
Yeah, my good friend Amy Seaver from amyseaver.com. She's awesome. Love her. Love her and Steve, her husband. And, she tracked him down and she contacted me the day before yesterday. Goes, "Hey, you're on with 107 tomorrow at, 2 o'clock. I forget. I think it was like 2 o'clock. I was awesome. Like, "You have got to be kidding me. Holy moly." So I was like,
That's fantastic.
Nervous, a little nervous, not too much. But
he's a, there's no question. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Juan, who he is, who he might be. You know, I've had some thoughts about the matter, but there's no question. I mean, the guy is a, he is a leader in this movement. It's just
dynamo. Dynamo. What's her name? Carrie Cassidy, which I interviewed 2 days ago. That interview is going to be released here shortly. That's epic. Carrie Cassidy thinks all day long that he is 107. As a matter of fact, she interviewed Nino Rodriguez on a video that only lives on her website. Okay. Project Camelot. And I'm watching this video. This is like 6 months ago. I told this to Juan yesterday. I was telling the story. I said, I got to tell you the truth. This is Carrie Cassidy had Nino completely sold on the fact that 107 was JFK Jr. He's like, he's saying things like, "You got to be kidding me. I'm going to see him tomorrow. I'm going to grab him by headlock. I'm going to try to pull his mask off."
I remember this.
And I was telling this to 107. He goes, "You got to be kidding me." So then I said, "But here's the clincher." I says, Nino Rodriguez does a show the very next day and he doesn't mention a word. And I said, that left me scratching my head saying, mm-hmm. maybe 107 could be JFK.
You know, Carrie is, she's basically said before that she believes that Nino is read in at this point,
was sworn in. He's a made guy, as we say in the
made man. Yeah.
He's a made man.
Right. Exactly. So I think that's a real possibility. I do remember that interview. In fact, she reposted it a matter of months ago, I think. And, I rewatched it and it's very interesting. I think that, if he's not JFK Jr., I mean, look, I don't know if he is or if he isn't. We're all going to find out one way or another. One thing I'm sure of is that Juan is dialed in. I mean, this guy is connected to the top levels. I do believe that he is, a spokesman, so to speak, as Kerry calls him, for the White Hats. I do believe that.
Absolutely.
I've been very clear about that for a long time.
Well, a guy that drives in and out of Mar-a-Lago sometimes 2-3 times in a day. I called him. I said, you are part of the Majestic 12 that are right there by, Trump's side. And I says, I think you might be the Il Capo di tutti capi, So we'll see. How is this Space Force fit into this quantum financial system? I think it's got a lot to do with it.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's actually a really big topic, in fact. So, in order to understand the QFS, really, you need to understand, as I know you do, and I'm sure most of your audience, but, I'll kind of just break it down really quick. The entire new system is going to be digital. Right. So it's going to utilize digital currency. I mean, not in the entire system. There's still going to be, minted. Money. Don't get me wrong. But I think that's ultimately the direction that we're headed. So, digital currency on the blockchain. And, you know, it's being run by Space Force, which was established to govern, you know, and this is something actually on the topic of Juan to kind of bring him back into the conversation. He's talked a lot about how Space Force is not really about outer space. It's about cyberspace.
Yep.
Right. Because that's the future. And, you know, into the future as the QFS is rolled out. And I have very good reason to believe, and I think a lot of people would agree, that Starlink is going to provide that key infrastructure. So the QFS is going to be run by Starlink, and it's governed. And this is my understanding, and I'm not, you know, I just a quick disclaimer for your audience. I'm not an expert. This is based upon my research, but my understanding is that this is going to be governed by AI, and it's designed to regulate accessibility to funds according to an individual's frequency, their resonance field, their vibration. You probably heard Charlie Ward. I know you, I think you spoke to him recently as well. He's talked quite a bit about this. Now, I don't know exactly how that works. I'm not 100% sure about that. I'm continuing to do my research, but that's my understanding, because your frequency can't be altered in any way. And so that's to ensure that more or less that the QFS is not going to be a financial tool of enslavement like the current system.
Right.
And it's going to prevent, you know, all of these low frequency demons from having access to the system and being able to manipulate it and use it to fund evil. But, you know, Starlink and QFS and the Space Force are all intimately connected. And Starlink, for folks out there in the audience who may not be aware, you know, I'll just talk a little bit about what it is. I mean, it's basically the first satellite constellation using a low Earth orbit. So you have like most of these satellite, most of your internet service providers, right? They come from a satellite that orbits the Earth at like 35,000 kilometers, really, really far away. Whereas Starlink is able to communicate with satellites at a much lower altitude. And the reason that's important is because if you're dealing with a satellite that's 35,000 kilometers away, the round trip time between the data, you know, the data time between the user and the satellite, that's very high. And that term is latency. That's what it's called. But, you know, it makes it nearly impossible to support high data rate activities, particularly financial transactions, right? And this is what makes it so relevant to the discussion of the QFS. So this constellation, so to speak, of satellites that orbit the planet much closer to the Earth at about, I think it's like 550 kilometers. So it's a fraction of, you know, the typical satellites out there, and it covers the entire planet. And because these satellites, they orbit closer to Earth and the latency time is drastically reduced, it more or less just boosts internet functionality. And that's why I believe that this is going to be an integral part of the quantum financial system. So that what the White Hats have been doing in coordination with Space Force has been developing blockchain over the past decade or more as means of creating a system which will be run using Starlink to repatriate all of this stolen wealth that was recovered by the Dumbs, by the Alliance. And that's actually being used to fund Jassara. And there's a whole history that goes into it. I mean, I don't know how deep you want to get into, you know, this whole thing, but, you know, it really goes back to as far as you want to go back to the creation of the Federal Reserve. But, you know, this whole situation that we're in, you know, goes way, way back. And I think, you know, really to the dot-com bubble back in the 90s, and then you could trace it, you know, up through the real estate bubble in the 2000s. And ultimately, you know, what it led to was a situation that, you know, that we basically are in now, where you had all of these collateralized debt obligations, these credit default swaps and everything, just put the economy in a place where it was about to implode completely. And it led to the creation of these new tools, these new financial tools that Trump and the White Hats basically used a reverse, you know, jujitsu move on the Black Hat. They basically used all of the tools that they created. And it depends on how much detail you want me to get into. I don't want to go too deep if you don't want me to, but
that's fine.
They created all these financial tools to basically use to take all of this illicit revenue, you know, all of this gold, all of the, you know, the art, all of the treasures that they recovered underground, and be able to filter it back into the system. And, you know, that's what they've been using blockchain to do. And, you know, my understanding is that, you know, Space Force and the, well, more or less the Starlink system and Elon Musk have been working with Space Force to, behind the scenes, to coordinate a ecosystem, which I believe is going to be XLM. And I think, you know, you might agree with me on that. That's going to more
No question. XLM, XDC, XRP are going to rule the world. There's a few other ISOs. There'll be 24 left standing when it's all said and done. 24.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that that's the direction that we're headed. I certainly think that it's fascinating what, you know, what's going to happen in the future. I think that all of these blockchains are going to be more or less wrapped into all the, you know, the ones that actually have value. I mean, certain ones I do believe are going to go away. I think actually I heard that Bitcoin, you know, I know that's a subject that you and I talked about last time, and we basically both trashed Bitcoin. We called it out for what it is, but I've actually heard that that actually those funds might actually be seized in some coming class action lawsuits. And those very funds may be used to provide some debt relief. You've heard a lot about the debt jubilee. I've heard that the Bitcoin funds may play a very interesting role in that.
Wow, that's a different twist. Central bank digital currencies. I personally will go to my grave when I'm 2,899 years old. I want to live that long just to be spiteful, by the way. And, you know, CBDCs, banks, they're done. They're finished. This is their last hurrah. And because you can't put another bridge, because, you know, XRP is the King Kong of bridge currency. There's a 99,000 pound gorilla in the room. Nobody wants to acknowledge. Everybody tells you Bitcoin. Oh, look how shiny. Doesn't do jack nothing. Right. It's useless. Same thing with Ethereum. You buy $50 worth of a token and you're paying $250 gas fees. You guys been there. It's going away. There's something called Spark now. Forget about it. The Spark is going to run the engine of the XRP. It's going to be over real soon. You can't put another bridge on the blockchain called the central bank digital currency that's run by Chase, Bank of America. This is all going to go away. This is all kabuki theater. There's one bridge currency. It's called XRP. I could pay you direct. You could pay me direct. You could do it with XLM. You could do it with XDC. You could do it with most of the ISOs. Not a problem. Why in the world do we need? It's over. Their goose is cooked. They know it. When they took this too lightly years ago, when this technology was being developed, and they went to try to build their own XRP, and the talent pool was dry. Why? Because all those people already worked for something called Ripple, and there was nobody to hire. Besides, banks aren't any good at building software. They're good at two things: disappearing people, killing people, and screwing you. They're not good at building software. Okay, so they're done. They're finished. The game is over. I don't know why you guys just don't throw in the white towel. You guys keep going and going and going. What you're causing is guys like me to keep accumulating more XRP. The end result is more rich, a lot more rich. So, you know, I got positive cash flow coming in. I'm not making millions of dollars, but I could weather the storm. You feeling me? So keep playing your little shenanigans. Okay. Steven Seagal, Hop Keto. Okay. This is this art of war that we're in right now. Steven Seagal is the 17th letter in the alphabet, which is using the enemy's own body weight against them, because they're able to manipulate your arm and move you a certain way to make you do what we want you to do.
That's right.
That's what we're in. So where are you on the central bank digital currency, Dave?
Well, you know, it is a big part of this conversation, right? Understanding CBDCs, you know, and this is a term I think that's getting thrown around more and more. You know, and I'm sure most of the audience knows, just in case people don't, it's central bank digital currencies. Sure. And, you know, as Mel points out, you know, these were initially, you know, these are run or created, you could say, by the private Western central bank. But I happen to believe that they were taken over by the white hats, and that they're more or less, they converted what, and this is similar to sort of what I was saying before, you know, I didn't really get into the special purpose vehicles and how they, you know, basically used the CARES Act to flip control of the Fed, but more or less, you know, it's the same basic concept. What they did was they took a black hat idea and they co-opted it and they turned it into something better. So my understanding of it is that the original concept of CBDC was developed in Davos, right? And it was a part of this whole centralized, it was just another one of their tools of financial enslavement, right? It was just another scam to get people to transfer their wealth into something that has no real value, that's not decentralized, that's not transparent. But, you know, it sounds good. And it sounds, you know, so if they can put out the narrative that, you know, you're bypassing the central bank.
Sure.
And this is the enemy of the central bank. So that's how they lured people into it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, the White Hats, they understood all that and they took control of it and they reversed it, in my view, to be a tool of debt liberation. So I happen to think that the central bank prefix of, you know, CBDC, of digital currency, it scares a lot of people and for good reason, right? Or I should say it concerns a lot of people. When we hear central bank, you know, we have an instant, you know, aversion to that. But my theory on this is that I think that they kept that there for the normies because the people that are reticent about it, you know, are essentially those that are already awake, people like you and I who understand the tyranny of the central bank. But maybe, just maybe, the White Hats have chosen to maintain this acronym, not for us, but for all the sleepers out there in terms of transitioning into this new system with a minimal amount of confusion and fear. Because I think what's going to happen is that all of these central bank digital currencies, as they're being rolled out by the enemy, by Davos, they're going to be used to more or less crash the system. Because you and I both know that the system has to crash before the QFS can be rolled out. Mm-hmm. It has to happen. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at, as I'm sure you're very well aware, how many trillions of dollars they've put out in circulation over the past couple of years. I mean, I've heard something like 80% of all of the cash that's in circulation in history mm-hmm. was like printed in the last couple of years. And I do believe this was right after Trump and Mnuchin performed a hostile takeover of the Federal Reserve. And more or less, they got in control of their purchasing power and they are pulling the strings behind the scenes. And this is why we're seeing massive inflation where, you know, what the Federal Reserve is doing right now, if they were really in control, would make no sense because everything that they're doing is antithetical to their best interest. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're heading, you know, off a cliff. A financial sure. cliff. So, you know, are they really in control or have the White Hats decided that they're going to use their CBDC rollout in order to crash the system and then transition into something new? And I think a big part of another big, you know, question that I get a lot of the time from my audience is having to do with the right to issue, you know, because people say, well, how is it that, you know, the Federal Reserve is actually controlled by the Treasury if they still have the right to issue? And therefore, they doubt, you know, whether or not the Fed has been rolled into the Treasury. So I happen to think, and this is based upon conversations I've had and research that I've done, that the Federal Reserve note, the dollar, still appears to be under the control of the Federal Reserve. However, I do think we should at least consider the possibility that they've retained or been allowed to retain this right to issue fiat currency and to print money until there's no tomorrow to run up inflation, because essentially it has no actual value, especially now that the corporation has been declared bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to that, it helps the White Hats maintain the appearance of the status quo for many different reasons, operational security.
Totally.
But also, you know, it provides a vehicle, like I say, to eventually crash the economy.
Totally.
The way the mint in D.C., yeah. This is really interesting. I don't know if you've heard this, but the mint in D.C. has been permanently closed. And the only one that's currently minting new Federal Reserve notes is located in Fort Worth, Texas, on the property that's owned by the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah. So is
I think
the,
that should be so a pretty
is the Treasury has been closed. So is the IRS. So is the Federal Reserve is partially closed, et cetera. Listen, everything going into this new Jassar Nassar world, which is going to be a $50 quadrillion per year in movement of money, everything, and I don't care if you're buying a lollipop or if you're buying a flying saucer, okay, you're going to travel through the XRP, the XLM, the XDC. Everything is going to move through that system. You have to understand the word liquidity. This is math, guys. This is not algebra. This is not, you know, big time math stuff that you can't figure out like calculus. This is basic pluses and minuses. Okay. If you got a $50 quadrillion market that we're getting ready to happen because of all the unbanked people, the UBI, it's going to be monstrous from a financial standpoint. When you understand that word liquidity, and you understand that there's a company that's in a lawsuit, Kabuki Theater lawsuit with the government that's not allowed to leave the United States, you start to put the dots together. That money's worth too much money. They're not allowed to leave. Dave, if you and I were the guys that created XRP, and XRP is going to rule the world, and we told the Treasury and the Federal Reserve and the American government, we're leaving. We're going to go to Singapore. Yeah, right. That doesn't happen. There are gangsters inside your government, folks. There are gangsters. Right. There's machine guns in the middle of the freaking table.
That's
saying,
right.
You guys are going to go where? And you're going to do what? Are you crazy? It ain't happening. Ripple, in my opinion, is going to become the lender of last resort. Ripple is going to be the new Federal Reserve, the new IMF. Everything's being restructured. We're speculating as to how this thing. But let me tell you something. Dave and I are a lot closer to the fire than most of you. You know why? Because we live in the movie theater 17 hours a day. We are information junkies.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get enough of this stuff. Okay? That's how this whole thing is going. Well, listen, the reason why I keep telling the story is because 0.00005 of the world's population is here. You got 170 million people worldwide invested in digital assets. You got, despite of everything and people falling left and right, we won't get medical here, okay? There's still 7.8 billion people on planet Earth. You feeling me?
That's right.
So
absolutely.
The rest of the planet's still got to come. The masses, when you see the Jim Cramers of the world, by the way, he's a scumbag, okay? Because when Jim Cramer is telling you to buy XRP, I bet you XRP will be $50. I'm telling you to buy it at 40 cents.
That's when it's time to get out. Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think you're, you know, there are so many people out there who are going to be, I mean, I happen to believe there are a lot of folks who are listening right now who have invested in these assets. And, you know, I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not, you know, pushing anybody to make any sort of moves. But, you know, I think that people are very, very wise to look into XLM, to look into XRP, to look into XDC, as Mel mentioned. You know, Flare Network is another one that I've heard a lot about, having to do with smart contracts.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
In my understanding with that, and maybe you could corroborate this, but my basic understanding on Flare is that XRP prior to Flare wasn't able to incorporate or run smart contracts. And this is giving
correct.
Them the ability
correct.
To do
on the XRP ledger now, because it incorporates the Spark token, the Flare token, you're able to do smart contracts. You're able to build other federated sidechains. You're able to build other tokens. You're able to build NFTs. We do it all. We're scalable to 3.5 trillion transactions per second. Don't even waste your time trying to fact check me. It's already been done. Trillions of dollars have gone through the system. XRPL. Never made a mistake, not even for one trillionth of a penny, ever. Michael Arrington from Arrington Capital. I got to tell the story because I haven't told it in a long time. Michael Arrington, four and a half years ago, the story lives on the internet for all you fact checkers out there. He moves $50 million. It takes 2.8 seconds. And it cost him 30 cents. I'll repeat that. $50 million, 2.8 seconds, 30 cents transaction fee.
It's can't hard to beat that. Huh?
Are you feeling me? Now, picture that system being able to make 3.5 trillion transactions per second without ever making a mistake. Doesn't matter if the transaction is for a lollipop or a flying saucer.
Think about that for a second.
It's
all automated.
The SWIFT system is over. The old banking system is about to collapse. It's going to be burnt down to the ground. The old system will be no more. There'll be nothing to go back to. Normies, I'm talking to you guys. You understand? It's a, you want, I know these normies want the three-dimensional world not to go away. Sorry to tell you, too late. It's over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are headed in this direction. And, you know, it is, it's really, it's an exciting time. And, you know, it's a lot of confusion. I think that a lot of people out there still haven't embraced the mentality. And I think this is something we talked about last time that, you know, we have to relearn our basic approach to everything. But, you know, while on the topic of finances and the, you know, the way that we've always done things, the central bank system, the checking, the SWIFT system, the debit cards, you know, all of that stuff,
all of it's going away.
I mean, whether or not people want to admit it, whether they want to acknowledge it, the reality of the matter is that this is, regardless of your level of knowledge, regardless of your level of comfort with this material, it doesn't change the fact that this is the wave of the future. This is the way things are going to be headed. And smart contracts, you know, they're like the white hat version of AI machine learning, you know, and what they're going to do more or less is, and by the way, this was black hat technology that once again, the military alliance took and used for good, like they've done time and time again, but this is all technology. And this is why I so often refer to it as a reversal event. Everything is going to get on them because everything that they had planned for us is going to be flipped in the other direction, right? But this technology was seized, it was repurposed, and the Alliance learned how to program quantum algorithms that essentially they serve to dismantle the central banking system. And all of these government entities which regulate finance, they're going to become completely obsolete because this technology automates everything. And so all of these, everything that's going to be tokenized, everything is going to be on the blockchain, all of your assets, your products, your services, you know, your inventory, everything is going to be tokenized and everything is going to be on the blockchain. I believe, again, it's going to be XLM. But again, you know, once again, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a guru. I'm just giving you my opinion.
You're not a financial advisor, but you'd be crazy not to follow us because a financial advisor, it's not like he can go through a blockchain university and learn this shit. We learned this shit on the job training.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, bottom line, people need to do their own research and decide whatever's best for them. But look, the simple fact of the matter is, folks, is that this technology is going to be not only making the banking system obsolete, but it's going to be preventing corruption in the banking system because it's all going to be governed. The QFS is all going to be governed by smart contracts and it's going to be monitored. You know, my understanding of it is going to be monitored by, you know, higher density beings off planet stuff. I'm not going to really get into that too much. But the point is that, you know, just in terms of the terrestrial level, it's going to automate everything. It's going to bypass every individual out there who's employed by the bank. It's going to make their jobs obsolete. I mean, how many of the banks, we're already seeing the banks closing up shop everywhere.
Totally.
They're getting for the class action lawsuits are coming.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you don't know nothing about nothing, all right, and you go to QFS 1776, which is getting 70,000 unique visitors a month now, QFS 1776, the holy grail of what's to come, and you don't know anything, you watch the videos top to bottom. There's about 32 videos or 31 videos there. They're elementary in a chronological order that the average Joe Blow will go through the videos, and in a couple of days, you'll say, okay, I get this. I know what's coming now. You'll get the basics. You'll have a, you know, maybe a green belt, second degree green belt when you get done with that course, free of charge. Okay. You buy your XRP, you buy your XLM, you buy your XDC. You don't have to do any of your homework. Just watch those videos. You'll want to buy it anyway and put it on a hardware wallet. We have the links to the hardware wallets. People call me all the time, Dave, say, oh, I put my money on a hardware wallet. My money's gone. You know why? Because you bought your wallet from the hacker. They buy these things from the manufacturer. They open them up. They repackage them. They tamper with them. Don't ask me how they do it. They do it. Okay? And people, there's been billions. Look it up. You want to fact check me? For all you fact checkers out there, go do it. Billions of dollars missing off of these hardware wallets. You buy it from us. But Mel, if I buy it from you, you're going to make $4.22. Well, would you rather have do that? Or would you rather have your money be stolen? You know what I mean? It's crazy. So it's like you buy it, you put it here, forget about it. You have more money, the market goes up, buy more. The market goes down, buy more. The market stays stable, buy more. Don't sell. Stay in positive cash flow. Stay in positive health. You'll get your day in the sun. Not financial advice, but you'd be crazier than crazy.
Well, you know, a big part of this too, Mel, is that, you know, as you well know, that, you know, XLM and XRP are liquidity tokens. And that's certainly something that you've mentioned. You stress that. And it's very important. That means that every bank account that's quantum compliant has to have a one-to-one ratio. So however many dollars are in that bank, they have to have just as many tokens of XRP and just as many tokens of XLM.
Bingo. Okay?
And so, you know, and by the way, for those who don't know, liquidity refers to more or less the efficiency or the ease with which you can transfer assets and securities into cash, right? Without affecting the market price. So this is, I mean, this is really, if you believe that this is the direction that we're headed based upon the research that Mel has done, that I've done, and so many others, by the way, I mean, this is not, the information that I'm talking about is not stuff that I came up with on my own. This is all open source information. It's all out there. You know, and if you do your research, you will find that there's a lot of validity to this. In fact, there have even been Q posts that have pointed in this direction.
Absolutely.
You know, that talked about how, you know, Donald Trump, you know, with links to Twitter articles talking about Trump being in charge of the Fed, you know, and that more or less, you know, a whiplash, and you get all the decodes on, you know, the importance of XLM and XDC and XRP. I mean, it's pretty clear, at least to me, that there's a lot of validity, that this is exactly where we're headed. And again, if you look at all of the evidence that supports all of it, you look at all the banks that are closing up, you look at the debt forgiveness that is starting to get reported, you know, you see the inflation, you see where all of this is headed. It's not that hard to put two and two together.
Exactly. You know, I'll break down the math, make it very simple, stupid. Okay. Like I said, it's pluses and minuses. Moving into a different world, 50 quadrillion a year is a conservative number. The amount of money that's going to be moving, financially speaking, on planet Earth once Jasar Nasara is full-blown, and it will be, 50 quadrillion. 50 quadrillion divided by what? The escrow of XRP, which is the one they don't want to leave the United States of America. Hence why there's a lawsuit.
That's right.
Okay? They don't want that money to leave. You get to 50 quadrillion and divided by 50 billion, you come up with a $1 million price tag per XRP. Don't tell me it can't happen. Mel, you're crazy. You're delusional. It's only 40 cents. How can it go up that many times? It's not for your convenience. You are not important. You're just going along for the ride if you know how to read between the lines. Bitcoin came out, it was 0.0008. You could buy 8 Bitcoins for a penny.
That's right.
8. You could buy 800 for a dollar. For a dollar, you would have been fabulously wealthy today at today's price.
That's
100%. Don't tell me Bitcoin is the brick phone, the Motorola brick phone that does. Do you use the Motorola brick phone, by the way, Dave?
No, that was a little bit before my time.
Okay.
I remember that. Understand? My father had one. He had one of those big bricks.
Okay. They wanted to make sure that they could build the cell phone. Voila. Today, everybody's got one of these things, one of these fancy schmancy things, right? Okay. The reality is nobody uses the brick phone anymore, and no one's going to use Bitcoin anymore. Bitcoin is going to go to zero. I don't give a crap what anybody tells me. I know how this movie ends. I've been here too long to get this one wrong.
I agree. I don't think Bitcoin has a future at all. In fact, you know, the future that it might have is the one that I alluded to a little bit earlier, but I think that this is so tied up in the CCP and so tied up in the adrenochrome and the
I'll tell you what, the 50 billion, the 50 billion are probably going to end up turning out to be more like, you know, 80 billion, because a lot of them are going to be burnt off, whatever. But that money is going to be bought out with dollars, with money that is really backed by gold and silver and so on. And it will be digital, and it will be in your bank, and the bank will be run by PolySign. PolySign is going to be the new bank software that's going to turn all the banks into financial service centers.
That's right.
Understand? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they need that money. We were not supposed to own it. The deplorables were not supposed to ever get their hands on it, but we did. So here we are. Here's the new ruling class. They look like me. They look like Dave.
What do you do? Well, I mean, look, I think you're right. I think that this is absolutely, again, it comes back to that reversal idea. You know, everything that they, the system that they set up to oppress we the people, you know, all of those tools, you know, of course, none of this would have been possible without the military alliance behind the scenes doing all the, you know, the heavy lifting, the kinetic fighting, clearing out the tunnels, the dumbs. I mean, all the stuff that goes, the different theaters and all of the different objectives that go into a, you know, the victory, being able to declare victory in this war. I mean, there's no question, but the simple reality is that it's just as true that if people, ordinary folks like us, didn't start educating ourselves, didn't start coming together, didn't start seeking out the truth, none of it would have mattered.
Absolutely.
And that's just the simple reality is that everything that all of the tools of enslavement, not only are we identifying them because, you know, that's what Trump and the White Hats did. They more or less, they bought us time. You know, the 2020 election was stolen. There were different roads that they could have gone down at that specific time.
Yeah. How did you find your Patriot, Dave?
This path because they gave us the time to be able to get up to speed. I mean, think about, I mean, you've been at this for a long time. I have to tell you, I have too. But even in the past couple of years, the amount of new knowledge that I've acquired has been absolutely amazing. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it dwarfs probably everything combined that I had learned up until that point. You know, I think that we were pushed into this, you know, this situation so that we could get to this point and, you know, understand the true nature of the oppressors and then fully be able to appreciate, you know, once this reversal event actually happens, we're now going to be able to fully appreciate what's happening. Whereas, you know, at a different point in time, I don't think you could have said the same thing to be true.
Yeah. Patriot Underground, how do they find you? What's the best channel for you?
Well, I have, I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean at the moment.
What is your channel's names? We're going to put those right down below too, guys.
Yeah, well, they don't, it's just Patriot Underground on Rumble, BitChute, and Podbean. I also have, you know, if people are interested in, you know, supporting me, that I have a shop where you can pick up some items, very affordably priced items, patriotunderground.shop. I can actually send you the links.
Yeah, please send me the links. I'm into cross-pollinating. We're going to educate all you podcasters out there who are doing it wrong because you got, like, you know, you're 12,000 people like, oh, I'm not sharing this. You know, you're so chicken-brained. It's unbelievable. These people just, they're brains about that small, believe me. Cross-pollination is very important in the business. And it's like there's people that listen to Patriot Underground that don't know who I am. There are people who listen to me that don't know who Patriot Underground is. Cross-pollination. Right. Then he goes and people like him, we cross-pollinate. It's a perfect working ecosystem, just like the bees when they go and collect the pollen from all the different flowers and all the different trees.
And that's exactly what they don't want. You know, that's exactly what the enemy never wanted to happen. They never wanted us to have these types of conversations.
Right.
They never wanted citizens, normal, you know, ordinary people to, you know, to step up to the plate and start doing podcasts and sharing information and stepping public space. I mean, you know, this
goes against their agenda.
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
Absolutely. Well, we're here to be a thorn in their side and we're not going to stop. The war is going to be won, but this war is won with you guys, the digital soldiers. Without the digital soldiers, we are all DOA, dead on arrival. So do your job, guys. Thank you for coming on board, brother. I'm going to put you on pause here for a second. You want to say goodbye to the audience or any last words? And then we'll pause it and I'll hold you over for an extra couple of minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, once again, I really do appreciate it, Mel. It's an honor to, you know, to be invited onto your podcast. I mean, you have a really great show. You know, I'm a fan of your work. I'm a fan of, you know, more or less everything, all the individuals that you're talking to are the same type of individuals that I'm talking to or trying to talk to. You know, we're on the same page and, you know, it's a pleasure to be with you. And as far as, you know, some last thoughts for the audience, I'll just say this. You know, we're heading into some, and this is more or less kind of an underscoring what I've been talking about tonight. I mean, we are in the very final stages of this I guess you, if you want to call it preparation, you want to call it the buildup, you can attach any word you want to it, but we are in the very, and I mean the very final stages. This is what I truly believe. And I happen to think that we are about to engage in the most epic storm that humanity has ever and will ever go through. But on the other side of it is going to be a true golden age. And I am just absolutely thrilled. It's an honor to be in this position. And thank you everybody out there for listening. And I really do appreciate it. Hopefully, Mel, we can do it again soon.
Over and over, many, many more times, brother. It was a pleasure. And I can't wait to have you back. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Catch you on the next one.
God bless everyone.